Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we find ourselves looking at one of the early churches and the way that they were handling life as Christians. And we come, in fact, to the church at Smyrna. And this is covered in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 8 to 11. Now, we don't really know a great deal about the church at Smyrna, but what we clearly see is that this is a church that is going through a very, very tough time. There are two main issues which they're facing. One is affliction, persecution, and very severe testing from people who hate Christians. And something closely aligned to it is poverty. And the reason it's closely aligned is because countries which are seeing terrible persecution of Christians also are countries where Christians are materially suffering, because you're not going to give Christians a good, well-paid job if you're persecuting them. One of the ways you will oppress them and try to make them almost give up is to cause them to have great economic difficulties. So this is all part of the challenge. But Jesus, the first and the last, and it's good to remind yourself that there's an end, because if you're going through a tough time, you may be tempted to feel, well, is this ever going to come to an end? Well, it will come to an end. God's in charge in the midst of all of the uncertainty. And Jesus says, I know your afflictions and poverty. I do know. And yet you are rich. And of course, Jesus is talking about spiritual riches. And it's very easy to say spiritual riches, and that can appear a bit callous and an easy way of fobbing off any responsibility to help the poor. But it is a reality, certainly in my experience, having been privileged to go to a number of nations. I meet people who materially are very poor, but spiritually are incredibly rich. Their life with God is just fantastic and an inspiration to others, including myself. Jesus says, I realize, he says, the devil, and again, this raises a very challenging issue. You know, why is the devil allowed to do certain things? But Jesus says the devil will be allowed to seemingly get the upper hand in some situations. Some of you will be put in prison. Some of you will suffer persecution for a limited amount of time. And he really implies some of you will even face death, because he says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you life as your victor's crown. Again, Jesus makes the reference that the ones who are victorious in him will not be hurt by the second death. And he's really saying in a confident and very focused manner that for those who may appear to be having a nice life but who go to hell, you're in a far greater position, even in the midst of facing great poverty and terrible treatment by others. But where you're heading is life eternal. You're not going to be separated from God in the lake of fire. You're heading to be in a place of peace and joy and utter health. So Jesus says, be faithful. Absolutely spot on. And of course, Jesus was faithful in the face of his own sufferings. But it is a challenge. We need to pray for believers going through very tough times. I must pause. We're going to have some worship. And after that, my good friend Patrick will join me to look again at the issues raised by the church in Smyrna.
Praise the Lord with all my heart and joy.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to continue looking at the Book of Revelation, Chapter 2, focusing particularly on what was written to the church in Smyrna in verses 8 to 11. So, Richard, it starts off by saying, these are the words of him who is the first and the last. Now, this is a phrase that we've seen before in Revelation, and again, a familiar phrase talking about Jesus.
Well, yes, it is. It's a very important phrase because there's a great security in knowing that Jesus is the first and last. No one came before him, and no one will come after him. He is ultimately in charge, and even in the midst of trials and difficulties and things we don't understand, this remains the case. The first and the last, he's in charge, you can trust him.
Now, this is a very different message to the one that we saw last time to the church in Ephesus. One of the things that does strike me is that there's no criticism of the church in Smyrna. They seem to be held in high regard, but it's a very different kind of message, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, and there is that perhaps appreciation of Jesus that here are believers who are really, really going through very tough times, but are remaining true to him.
And you mentioned poverty. Well, the letter, doesn't it? It mentions, I know your poverty. How significant is that? Would they have been a poor community?
I believe they were, and as I commented, I think that one of the challenges is that in parts of the world where Christians are persecuted and tested, there is a very real effort to keep them poor. You have to be quite exceptional to be put in a position of given a good wage, and that would probably be just because they feel they can use you. So generally speaking, they'd be paid as little as possible if they have a job at all, and that would not help.
Obviously, that was something that applied in the time that this was written. Do you think that's something that applies today? You travel a lot to a number of different countries around the world. In some of them, you know, there is persecution. Does that apply there, do you think?
Yeah, it does very much. I can certainly see that happening in some places. Very, very hard for believers because the rejection and the lack of appreciation or respect for their faith makes life very, very difficult.
Now, one of the messages to this church in Smyrna is that they're going to suffer persecution, but for 10 days. Now, I'm tempted to think that this might not be a literal 10 days, but implies that it's not going to be forever.
Yes, I think that's a fair sort of understanding of it. It may have been 10 days, but I think that would be losing the point. The point is not the period of time. I think it's exactly as you say. The point is it's a limited time. Now, if 10 days of suffering is far too long for the majority of people. You know, 10 hours would be more than enough. But there is that sense, this is not forever. It will come to an end.
And this section finishes with that little phrase, which we also saw in the previous letter to Ephesus, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are Christians sometimes deaf to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, do you think?
They certainly are. We can all have a deaf ear, especially to things we don't want to hear. And the constant repetition of this phrase, I believe, is very much Jesus saying, hear, understand, listen. And we know from what Jesus taught in the Gospels on the Sermon on the Mount, for example, that hearing is not just kind of being able to know what's being said. Real hearing, in Bible terms, means you hear and then you do something about what you've heard. So that's what we're needing to do too.
Okay, Richard, we must leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. So join us again next time as we continue looking at the second chapter of the Book of Revelation in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.